When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Israel, Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. So Moses was somewhat reluctant to obey God, asking, what if they, Israel, don't believe you appeared to me? And God went on to give him some miraculous signs. Moses' staff becoming a live snake and his hand being made leprous and then being healed. And let's see what Moses' reaction to this was. So we move on to chapter 4, verses 10 to 17 now. So after all that, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you. Speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it."
Thanks, Lorraine, for that Bible passage. We know that story, don't we, of Moses at the burning bush when God came to meet him. It was a pretty big task, wasn't it, what God asked of Moses, to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Can you imagine how Moses felt when God asked him to do that, to go to Pharaoh? Moses was an Israelite, but remember, he was brought up by Pharaoh's daughter in the palace. So Moses actually grew up with all of the Egyptians' ways, even though he was an Israelite. But you remember there was that bit of confrontation and Moses killed an Egyptian. Do you remember that? And then Pharaoh wanted to kill Moses. And so Moses fled to the land of Midian, to Jethro, where he ended up got married. And then God met him at the burning bush. And this is where we start the story today, where God said to him, "Go back to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go." How would you have felt if God had asked you to go back into enemy territory? You know, a place that wasn't so comfortable for you, a place where maybe you'd had a few disagreements with someone and God said, "I want you to go back there and do such and such," especially if it was to the boss. Go back and tell the person such and such. Go back to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Maybe you might have been like Jonah, who decided to run in the opposite direction. Instead of going to Tarshish, he went to Nineveh. And then he got swallowed by that large fish and he ended up back where he should have gone in the first place. You know, we've all had to face some difficult situations, haven't we? We've listened to each other. We've heard the stories. We've had quite a bit of sickness here. We've had surgery. We've even had some death in our congregation and members and family members and so forth. There's probably other difficult situations that you've been through that maybe you haven't talked about with us, but you've been through those difficult times. Moses didn't do very well, did he, with this unexpected task that God asked of him. It came out of nowhere. God just appeared to him at the burning bush. And he said, "Go to Pharaoh, go back and tell him to let my people go." So what did Moses do when God asked this of him? Well, five times he questioned God. You heard Lorraine say some of them, but we've missed our other ones. Five times he questioned God, saying, "God, no, I don't want to do this." You know, he must have been very, very fearful. And in the end he said, "Please, God, send someone else. Don't let it be me. I don't want to go back. I'm too scared. I'm too anxious." So what do you do when you're faced with a difficult situation? The passage that we read today gives us some helpful advice or suggestions or strategies when faced with something difficult or unexpected. Might be a new task that you're being called to do, or a new situation that you have to deal with. So let's look at some of these strategies that I've come up with out of this passage today. So the first one is supportive friends. I think that one of God's resources to help us during difficult times are supportive friends, friends and family. He could see that Moses was really struggling with this task that he told him to do, and so he said, "I'm going to send your brother Aaron with you. He can go with you and be your mouthpiece." In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 10, it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labour. If either of them falls down, one can help him up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up." Can you go back? Thanks, John. Moses must have felt so relieved that he didn't have to go by himself. But God said, "Take your brother Aaron with you." Aaron could be his mouthpiece. He just didn't feel comfortable going on his own. So having Aaron with him would give him courage. It would give him the capacity to do the job that God asked of him. He couldn't do it by himself, but having Aaron next to him, being his mouthpiece, gave him the ability, the courage to go and do this task. We often like someone to stand with.
Back on track. Good. Okay. So we often like to have someone stand with us, don't we, when we have to do things that cause us to be fearful or anxious. Doctors often say this, don't they, when they're going to deliver bad news. They say, please bring someone with you to the appointment, because they know it will be difficult to hear the news when you're by yourself. Friends lend us their support when we don't have the capacity to cope by ourselves. I've stood with my cousin when she had to give the eulogy first for her mum and then her dad. I stood with her and I prayed for her as she was talking. And I've had people stand with me when I gave the eulogy at my mum and dad's funerals. It's good to have someone stand next to you, isn't it, to support you, to pray for you. So if you had that at difficult times, can you remember a time when someone has come and stood by you when you've been through a difficult situation? Going to the doctor, surgery, going to the lawyer, or having a difficult conversation with someone? If you had someone stand beside you, giving you the support and the strength. Or maybe you were the someone who stood beside somebody else and lent them your strength and your support to help them to get through that difficult time. You could stand next to them and pray for them and help them. I remember when my family was in the hospital room when my mum died of cancer. We were all standing around her and she died. And everyone slowly left the room to go home. But I couldn't do it. I could not leave the room. I had no capacity to do so. I was empty. I was desolate. Just could not walk out that room. But a nurse came in and she saw the situation and she said, "Can I help you? Can I help you leave the room?" And I said, "Yes." And she did. She took my hand and helped me out of that room, and that was really difficult. But God sent the right nurse at the right time. Could have been another nurse who said something different, but it was the right nurse, and she summed up the situation that I couldn't leave, and she helped me to leave that room. I really like our church's prayer link, because we support each other when we can't do it by ourselves. We send that message across and we know that all of us here will be praying for that situation, that we won't be standing by ourselves, but we have a whole church family behind us supporting us in prayer. It's good to know, isn't it? Because we're a community and we were created by God to be in a community, to give and to take. And that's what we do with our prayer link and our prayer here. We support each other. We stand next to each other in prayer. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking for help at times when you can't stand by yourself. Sometimes there are times when we can do it by ourselves, but there's other times we just call out, just call out. God sent Aaron to help Moses. You know, he sent Queen Esther. She had the support of her uncle Mordecai when she had to go and tell the king about evil Haman. David had Jonathan. Paul had Silas in prison. And, the paralyzed man who got lowered between the roof, he couldn't do it by himself. He had no capacity to go to Jesus to get healed. So his four friends came along, lifted him up, took him to Jesus, and he was healed. That's what good friends do, come and support you. You know, even Jesus asked his friends to come and support him when he went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that that task before him was going to be really difficult, and so he took his disciples with him. In Matthew 28:36-38, then he, Jesus, said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here with me and keep watch." I mean, even though the disciples didn't stay awake, Jesus still asked them to come with him and to support them, to be by him as he prayed just before the crucifixion. So sometimes it's good, isn't it,
to have someone next to us in a difficult situation, to bolster our courage, to strengthen our faith, to be able to lean on them and to borrow their strength when we haven't got the strength to do it. There's no judgment in falling apart. We all do it, even as Christians. We still fall apart. It's just great, isn't it, to have people to stand alongside us, as Moses had Aaron standing next to him. So the second part I'd like to look at from this passage, titled it, Knowing the Future. Another thing that God did when answering one of Moses' questions was to tell him what exactly would happen when he went to visit Pharaoh. Do you remember the story? Everything happened exactly as God told Moses. And as Moses eventually carried out everything that God asked him to do and saw that it was happening, do you think his trust in God increased? That what God said happened. It was true. And then when they passed through the sea and they were standing on the other side, Moses, with all the Israelites, and they were safe, I think Moses' trust in God would have increased greatly. God said this, this, and this would happen, and it happened exactly as God said. In Exodus 3:17, So we have the same thing. God told us in the Bible exactly what's going to happen in our future, didn't he? So many prophecies he just wrote down and down and down. Some of them have happened, but not all of the prophecies have happened yet. But we can have trust and faith in God that what he says is going to happen. Some of it already has happened, but the rest is going to happen. In Exodus 3:17, God had promised the Israelites that they would come out of the land of misery into a land flowing with milk and honey. And it happened, didn't it? And God has said to us that one day we will end up in heaven at the end of our time. For some it's already happened, for others, for us it hasn't yet. But God promised that. He told us ahead of time what's going to happen, and we can trust in his plan and keep our eyes on it. So going back to the Bible passage now, do you remember the first thing that God said to Moses after Moses questioned what God had told him to do? Do you remember? You might not. There was a big passage. John? Exodus 3 verse 12a, I will be with you. That's the very first thing that God said to Moses. I'm doing the talk a little bit backwards, so I'm going back to the first thing. God said, I will be with you. What a wonderful statement to hear. But it's a bit sad that this didn't really ease Moses' anxiety, knowing that God would go with him. Maybe Moses didn't really know God yet. It was always the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of your fathers. Maybe Moses didn't quite know God enough yet to trust him. He was panicking. And God says, I will be with you. You feel a little bit like Moses sometimes when the task is ahead of you and you're a bit concerned, a bit worried and think, oh, what am I going to do? My first thought isn't always, oh, yes, God's with me. Everything's going to be okay. That's not always my first thought. How about you? Sometimes I have to ring up a few other people. I have to get into planning mode. I have to think through it all this. I did this, you know, when I found out I needed surgery for my eye. I didn't sit there and say, oh, yeah, God, you know all about this. It's going to be okay. No, no, no. I went into panic mode first for a couple of hours, rang up a few people, got everything organised to get to Canberra, and then I started to slow down and think, oh, dear. All right, yes, God, you're with me. And then I sent the prayer link out to everybody else, and then I started to, you know, get into the Christian mode of things and start to say, yes, God's with me. God's going to help me through this situation. In Hebrews 13, verse 5b, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It's easy words, but sometimes it's hard to apply, isn't it? Emmanuel, God with us. It's one of the titles that Jesus had. Emmanuel, God with us. God doesn't expect us to live our lives in our own strength, to face our battles by ourselves, to stand strong when the storms of life come along. He knows that we don't have the capacity to do so. He never expected us to do it alone. How many times do we try to do it alone and fail? And how does God fulfill that promise that he's never going to leave us? We know that. He gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside us, to guide us. When we're sad, he comforts us. When we don't know what to do, he gives us guidance. When we fail, he reminds us that Jesus forgives us. We don't have to struggle through life or cope with things on our own. We don't have to plan. We don't have to prepare for every contingency, which is what I often do. We don't have to feel like we're running on empty. Have you felt like that at times? That you're running on empty when we're so overwhelmed with things that are going on in our life that we don't cope? Or we're dealing with a lingering issue and it's just depleted all our resources? Just want to remind you today that we are not alone. We have Jesus. We don't have to rely on our own resources, but we have to ask. It's there. It's there for the taking, but we have to ask. We have to activate our faith and ask for help. We have to choose to lean on Jesus. In John 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Part of that verse says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." Think about that. Jesus said, "I do not give to you as the world gives." I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't do as the world gives. Jesus' love, support and forgiveness never runs out. It's always there. It's always available 24/7. His capacity for all of that is overflowing. Overflowing. If you look at us when we try to support people, it's not like that, is that? But with Jesus, his capacity to support us is always there, 24/7, overflowing. Many people love the song by Frank Sinatra, "I Did It My Way." I love the song, beautiful tune, but the words are not very good. It's often played at funerals. But in reality, doing it your own way is lonely, difficult, anxious when you have to rely totally on yourself, because you're inevitably going to fail, aren't you, if you do it your way? You won't have enough resources on your own. Your glass will always end up empty if you do it your way. Aren't we thankful that Jesus doesn't give as the world gives? In Malachi 3, verse 10, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room enough to store it." Did you hear that? So many blessings that there will be not room enough to store it. What a generous God. What a giving God. What a loving God. But we need to ask. It's there, but we need to ask. So as I close, I just want to remind you of the three lessons that we can be reminded of with this story today. First of all, supportive friends. God has given us people to walk alongside us when things are difficult, to loan us their strength. Who are you thankful for today? Have a think about it. Who has stood by you when things have been difficult? Yeah? Yvonne and I had that last night. Yvonne rings me up about 20 to 6 and says, "Julie, my dog Zoe has gone missing." Oh, heart failure when your dog goes missing. So I raced over there praying all the way and we found Zoe. She was just having a good old time walking outside a couple of houses up, but it was getting dark. So it's good to have supportive friends, isn't there? So who has supported you? Might be time to go and give them a call or send them a letter, email and say, thanks, I really appreciated you being there when I felt I couldn't do it on my own. Or, as I said, maybe God's asking you to be a support for someone. How's your life going? Is there people or someone in your life that maybe God is saying, give them a call, be a support. And remember, you don't do it on your own. God fills you up so that you can give out to other people. You don't have to be the glass that's empty. You can be filled up to give out to other people. And then the second thing is we know the future. God told Moses what was going to happen, and it happened exactly as God said. And that would have definitely increased Moses' trust in God. And the same for us. He told us what's going to happen. And we can rest and relax in that. Even though it might be difficult, we know that God is there in control. And the last one then, first thing that God said to Moses, I will be with you. The most important thing, the first thing he said to Moses to encourage and reassure him with this difficult task, I will be with you. We do not walk alone. We don't walk alone. But we do need to activate our faith and walk as if we really believe that God is with us. And sometimes we need to ask him to increase our faith. You know the verse, I believe, help me with my unbelief. I sometimes say, I trust, but help me when I'm not trusting so well. And by doing this, hopefully the next time that we face a difficult situation, we'll already be leaning into Jesus. We'll already having him support us. So when those times come unexpectedly, we're not empty, we're not half empty. We're leaning into Jesus, trusting in his capacity to help us with that situation. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie.